Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckless AB to CV 2024 Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
San Antonio District Judge resigns after a federal corruption probe.
A former San Antonio, Texas judge goes to federal prison after pleading guilty to accepting bribes in exchange for rigging cases in his court. Angus McGinty committed the ultimate judicial sin. Why did you do it?
I did it because I was foolish.
Listen to How to Bribe a Judge on RevolverPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Anik and Florian podcast. I am not John Anik. You can probably tell my voice is not nearly as good as that silky smooth guy, but I'm here with two of the legends, and we had to hop on without Anik. We're going to have a full show on Tuesday, but we got to hop on because UFC 281 is absolutely insane. So much to talk about. I can't believe I'm sitting here with these two guys talking about it. Ray Longo, Kenny Florian. Ray Longo, 8 hours away. Your guy did some damage. Your guy won. How you feeling?
Yeah, man, I could listen. I'm so happy for this kid because we have a funny relationship. Yeah. But, you know, he is listening, and I really think he's a well-rounded guy. That, you know, if he just stays patient, gets his awareness up, he doesn't charge in there blindly, is going to be a problem for a lot of people because he could wrestle, his jiu-jitsu is good, could definitely strike, could kick, you know. So the adrenaline is keeping me going. But, man, it was rough. It's a rough go, man, I'll be honest with you. I'm not lying. Friday morning I woke up, I didn't think I was making the fight. I mean, there's something going around out here. I think Anik told me this morning he's got it. So, but I bounced back. I don't know. That's like,
you're Ray Longo.
They
can't kill me at this point.
They can't do it.
Gosh.
My girls are sick. I haven't got it yet. I'm lucky. Ken Flo, you doing all right? UFC 281 was absolutely nuts, my man.
It was nuts. I'm probably at the tail end of whatever's going around. Yeah. I feel like I've been congested for a week straight.
That's it.
Anyways, it was. It was a fantastic card from an excitement perspective. And in the main event, and I'm sure Ray would agree, that's real martial arts right there. Mm-hmm. The ground stuff wasn't perfect, of course. But as far as the stand-up on the feet, it was technical. There was strategy. There was momentum shifts. These are two guys in their primes going at it. We had an opportunity to see two elite strikers, two elite martial artists duke it out. And how they were able to move the pieces on the chessboard was really, really fun to watch. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, you said it, Kenny. Chess match to the highest level. Yeah. I mean, that was a treat. If you're a stand-up guy, for sure, like, you know, that's your thing. That was a treat. That guy's pressure was crazy. Mm-hmm. He stayed calm and relaxed in the pocket. You know, Izzy had to change up his game a little bit. You know, when he was moving, you know, he couldn't stay in front of the guy. But what a chess game that was. And to come down to the way it finished the way it did, I think was just phenomenal, man.
It really was. And what I love is Pereira. I'm an Izzy guy. Kenny and I both took Izzy. But Pereira, after that first round where he got buzzed and got rocked bad, he made adjustments. He was still getting caught by that right hand, but he made just enough adjustments not to to either roll with the shot or march forward and say, this is my kind of fight. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to head him off. I'm going to put him on the cage. And that was the thing I got. I got a lot of people ask me, why is Izzy's back on the cage? And that's when I asked you guys, did you guys notice that he put himself in the cage and instead of lateral movement, he was kind of there and then doing a lot of this and then maybe engaging in the clinch. I thought maybe he thought he had a grappling advantage and it was a little harder for him to take Pereira down than he thought. I don't know. I'm going to get Kenny's point of view on that. Kenny, what do you think about that?
Yeah. So listen, if I am in the center of the octagon and I don't have anyone in front of me, I have 8 directional points where I can go. I can go left, right, up, down, and I got that diagonals forward and back, right? So I have 8 different directions I can go. If my back is up against the cage, right, and I have someone in front of me, I've now limited myself to 2 routes. I can go left and I can go right, right? Pretty much. That right there is what you do against someone who is so good with their footwork. You take away their options. What makes this country great is that we have freedoms that other countries just don't have, right? We can go to other places. If I'm in an oppressor and I want to oppress my opponent, I want to oppress my people, I want to take freedoms away from them. I want to take away their ability to go where they want. And that's what Pereira started to do. Why did he have his back up against the cage? I think those lead left kicks really did a lot of damage. Now, that's what was so fascinating here, guys, is that both guys were trying to take away a wheel. Both were trying to take away that lead leg. They were kicking the hell out of it. Calf kicks, calf kicks, calf kicks. Pereira, being the bigger, larger man, that's where I think the difference was. His kicks took greater effect on Izzy's, and I don't think Izzy was able to move the way he wanted to. So he backed up against the cage because he said, shit, I can't move anymore.
Right.
If you remember, one of those kicks that he landed, Izzy kind of funk rolled out of it. He kind of took like a forward roll. Yeah. His leg was really messed up. And I think every time he moved onto it, it was really bothering him. And he tried to survive up against the cage. If you're going to try to survive up against the cage, what I would have liked to see, as I was watching very comfortably and safely from my couch, is to take away that lead hand, right? I would have liked to see maybe like a tentacle, that lead hand is trying to slap away that lead hand of Pereira. Why? That's his most dangerous weapon. That left hook was cultivated and created by Satan himself. Okay, that is a brutal left hook.
It's nuts.
That's what should have been taken away. And of course, that's easy for me to say from the outside looking in. But if you're in a square stance with your back up against the cage, that's very different than if you're in a fighting staggered stance. I think that would have given him a little bit more reach and a little bit more ability to take away that lead hand. But it was almost perfect until then. Izzy had a beautiful performance up until then. Pereira believed, he kept pressuring, and man, that left hook is something else.
First, Kenny's on fire. That's the
on fire.
Oppressed people. This is
look at this Kenny story.
I love it. But listen, the first thing I teach people, like when you go against that cage, your back foot hits, you get in your stance. You never square up against the cage.
Yeah.
And again, Kenny, against a guy like that, who, like you say, has a left hook created by Satan and a jab that could match.
Yeah,
I know.
So let's not forget that jab. He was jabbing him to the body. I think I heard his ribs cracking. So anytime you go up against the cage, that back foot goes, it's like you're in the center. You cannot square up against the cage for a variety of reasons. But like you were kind of saying, look, first thing, I think Izzy made a very tactical error for the next fight. He's already come out and said the calf kicks killed him.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I know. That was one thing I thought of, Ray. I go, don't give it up. That didn't bother me at all. I was fine. I thought I had him up against the cage.
Without a doubt. But he gave that up. And what's going to be, I really believe the next fight's going to be worse. Because I think this guy came out, first off, Why was his back against the cage? I do agree with the calf kicks, but his pressure is suffocating.
Yeah, he's walking forward.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He's coming forward. He's coming forward calm and calculated. And I don't think – I think he – it might have been to the calf kicks, but I think we got to give credit to him cutting off that octagon, sliding over. He wasn't following him. He did the right things. This guy 100% understands striking to another level. And, man, just was – it was just beautiful to watch him work, even with all the rounds. I mean, I just – you could see him always trying to set him up. And Izzy looked like he was frantic to me half the times. You know, I just think it will be worse the next time because I do think this guy was trying to pace himself. He was never in a 5-round fight before because it was almost like in the 5th round, you have no other choice. There's no other round. He's going. And when he went for it, I'm going to say we're going to see this earlier the next time. I think he'll believe in his cardio. He probably had a rough weight cut. I think there were some reasons why, you know, even though that's the way he fights, he's calm and calculated, he's walking forward. But I don't, you know, either guy could hurt anybody, but I think Pereira definitely takes Izzy's punches better than Izzy could take his punches. And that's going to be a big factor.
I think certain guys are just made to fight other guys. They just match up so well. And Pereira matches up so well against Izzy just based on the fact that he's got that striking. But I imagine Pereira if he was 5'11" or 6 foot.
Not happening.
And being, you're not have 6 foot happening. Four. He's just as tall, except even bigger and more powerful than Izzy. It's like, man, that's a lot of problem right there.
Yeah, look, there's things that Izzy gets away with other people because of the advantage. You can see he just slides his head back 1/8 of an inch. He can't do it with this guy. You know what I mean? He can't do it, and it showed. I mean, now it was I don't know how he beats him. I mean, he should wrestle him for sure because that's a clear path to victory. But, you know, that's not his game either. And then it becomes, you know, there's got to be some sort of ego involved. You know, I did an interview. I said, you know, like they said, what would you tell each guy in the corner or before the fight? But my thing was, it's very simple. The past does not equal the future. Fight an MMA fight. Do not fight a kickboxing fight. Yes. And if Pereira, because he beat him already, gets too confident, he's going to get hurt. And the other guy, if he tries too hard to make up and avenge that loss and try to make a statement, he's going to be in trouble. And I think that's kind of what we saw, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about the ground game. I'll save that for John, because I know Kenny and Ray have a lot of thoughts on the ground game. We kind of touched on that before. But what I love about it was 3-1 Izzy, all judges' scorecards. Very close fight. I mean, 3-1, but it was very competitive rounds. And I need to touch on base on Ray with this one. How about that corner work? Lighting a fire under Pereira and going, you got one round left. Give it all. And he came out a new guy in that 5th round and to me was not going to be stopped. And it was incredible. I love good corner work. I mean, that's what coach is there for. It's unbelievable. I mean, one guy's fighting, but it's a team that does it in unbelievable stuff. And we've seen a lot of good corner work over the years. I need to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, listen, unbelievable. But that's what a corner is there to motivate. Yeah. Me and Aljo we go through a routine. It's funny because a lot of times during the fights, right, a guy says, just get up. And they don't tell you how to get up. And my point is, if you don't know how to fucking get up at that point, you don't fucking belong in there. You don't have time to start
fighting. You're not going
to
coach him through in a championship fight in the 5th round. Yeah,
I'm there as a cheerleader to make you believe in yourself. You've got to be squared away before you go in there. So we have a lot of laughs about that, you know, and I'll go, just get the fuck up, you know, but that's it. I mean, well, you want me to tell you to get up now? Really? Yeah. You don't know how to get up. You don't know how to do that arm bar, right? Yeah. You don't know how to go for the Kimura. It's crazy. You're there for the basic, simple stuff. And that corner work, you could say, won that guy that fight, because I'm not sure it registered with him, because the way he spoke that, he knew he had to knock the guy out.
Yeah.
So, beautiful.
Absolutely. Course. Ray, I think that's great. And I would say that it was – I thought it was pretty clear that it was Izzy 3-1 heading into round 5. But some other corners that may be trying to make their fighter feel good might be saying, hey, it's tied up, man, instead, they said, go for it. You need a finish, not maybe you need a finish or maybe it's tied up. They're like, no, you're down. If you want to win this fight, you got to go out there and finish this fucking guy.
Yeah, and you could see that they're that small school in Connecticut. I'm all about that, man, the camaraderie. because you got to be, everybody's got to be synergistically involved in that. You got to win for you. You want to win for yourself, for the people around you that put the time in, and everything comes together, and they have it because Glover's that guy. Was the heavyweight champ of the world. He walk into the dressing room, you don't even notice he's there. He's not. He's just a very down to earth, humble, good dude. And I think that's what you saw. These guys are all together. That's going to be hard to beat. It really is, because they have a you know, a good connection with each other, and they're passionate about what they do. And I got to tell you, I think Glover is going to win that next fight with Jiří, and they're going to have two belts in Connecticut.
Hot prediction, Ray Longo.
Yeah,
I love it. I'm going to save some of the meat on the bone for John when John comes back on Tuesday. The last question I have for the main event, this is something that we talked about before the show started. Chimaev called for a shot against Pereira. What would you guys do? I want to ask your opinion. Would you rather, does Izzy deserve an immediate rematch? We got Chimaev who wants to step up, or the guy that's no one really talking about who I think maybe has earned it, because no one else can beat him at 85 besides Izzy, is Robert Whittaker. So what would your guys' opinion? I'll go with Kenny first. What would you like to see, Ken Flo?
Super simple. Adesanya rematch.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ray?
I'm going to say I agree with Kenny 100%. Izzy deserves the rematch. I wouldn't make that rematch too soon, though. I mean, if I'm Izzy, from a tactical standpoint, I sent Chimaev in there to beat him up a little bit. You know, to get some wear and tear,
get some
on
dents in him
before I fight him again. I don't think if that fight happens 4 months from now, I believe the outcome will be worse.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think Izzy needs to take some time. Let's talk about the co-main event. Two high-level, 115-pound females going at it. Our producer of the Stars, Cody Merrill, was all over this, Zhang Weili, months ago. Incredible scrambles, high-level grappling. What I noticed in this fight was Esparza might have the wrestling pedigree background, but Zhang Weili was so explosive and fast and athletic in there that even when it hit the ground, she was making all the right decisions. And I'm so happy for Zhang Weili. She's a high level female MMA fighter. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on the fight. We'll go Ken Flo. What do you think about the co-main event here? We both were on Zhang Weili, if I remember correctly.
Yes, exactly. No, yeah. Zhang Weili is, she's, first of all, just a tremendous athlete.
Yeah.
You know, I know that word is thrown around a lot, but you look at her and what she's capable of doing and how quickly she learns. It's indicative of how good of an athlete she is, but also the work that she's putting in. Every time we see her, win or lose, I see something in her game, maybe one, two, three, four things that look better than before. And this was another example of that. Her grappling looks much, much improved. Carla Esparza was so close to keeping some of those positions, but wasn't able to follow up. She didn't have that second, third, and maybe fourth move to keep Zhang Weili exactly where she wanted. Again, it's a testament to Weili putting in that work. She looked great. In the end, she was a little bit too much. She learned how to adapt. She kept her composure. And in the end, won that scramble, got that crucifix rear naked choke. And that was beautiful. I think Zhang Weili is going to continue to get better, and she's going to be really tough to beat in the future.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So when you are at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down and you may feel a touch overwhelmed. Perhaps you're not showing up the way that you would like to. I can certainly relate. You know, there's a phrase in the song, there's no business like show business. And it says, there's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. And for me, being in the public eye has been challenging, at least in terms of always projecting happiness when perhaps that's not how I'm feeling. Well, whatever your situation, working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. And when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything that life throws your way. For me, it's imperative that I'm my best self in order to just perform at a high level. And when I don't feel that way, BetterHelp is a great option and a great resource for therapy. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. That gets you matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch out anytime for no additional charge if you're not happy. For me, I'm on the road about 100 nights a year, so being able to connect with someone remotely was absolutely huge for me. And my mindset really candidly has changed for the better. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/AnnickFlorian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AnnickFlorian.
Yeah, I think, I'll piggyback on that. But Kenny, I think you hit the nail right on the head. But the scrambles that look like, you know, like.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, we take on a couple of villains to sort out whether bad stuff is also illegal stuff. George Santos won a seat in Congress by lying to voters, but is that a crime? And Kanye West made it clear he hates Jews. In England, he'd go to jail for that. Here in America, did he commit a hate crime? Listen to Too Many Lawyers on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like for Whaley, you got to get frantic. Right. You got to address. You can't just go to your back and accept it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what we saw. She got on. She did great in those scrambles and she wasn't going to, you know, get flattened out easily. And I think Kenny touched on that. And I think that's the difference in the fight. And then stand up wise, you know, she's just a monster. You know, she's not going to play it safe. She's going to mm-hmm. go forward. She's going to take risks. She believes in herself. Super strong for a 115 pounder, you know, can do it all. And like Kenny said, she's getting better and better. And I expect her, you know, to remain like that.
Yeah, I mean, the MMA is, you learn a lot about your losses. And we saw Zhang Hua Li lost the second fight to Rose Namajunas by keeping on her back and accepting the position while Rose was working on the top. And she learned a lot. Now she's out in Arizona with Henry Cejudo on Fight Ready Camp. Unbelievable. And I think the next fight, and I'm going to get your opinion on this, for Zhang Hua Li, I mean, you could throw Rose in there. You could do, I think Amanda Lemos in China makes the most sense. You got to get back to China. Amanda Lemos is a banger. She throws. And Zhang Hua Li is not a stranger to throwing down. Do you boys like that fight in China 2023?
I would love that fight.
Yeah. Let me go first. First off, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Amanda Lemos by far is the hardest fucking puncher in that division. That is a right hand from hell. And I'm saying if Wiley doesn't take that fight to the floor, she gets knocked out. She's not going to be able to take that. That's a huge, that's got pop on it like I've never seen from a girl. I had Mizuki fought her.
Yeah.
And Mizuki can box, man. And she did get dropped. She did last the three rounds, which hats off to Mizuki because a lot of people couldn't do that. But there's only one way to beat Amanda Lemos. I think it's on the floor. I'm telling you, her stand up, unless you could drag it deep and she loses some of that pop, that right hand, Kenny, that's the equivalent of the other guy's left hook to me. They got some extra steam on that, man. You know?
100%. Yeah, she froze Marina Rodriguez. All right, let's move along here. I want to get to Favola. Before Favola, the steamroller Favola, Michael Chandler versus Dustin Poirier brought the fucking house down at MSG. Unbelievable. I'm going to let you guys describe what you how you saw this fight and what you liked about it. My big thing is I am so impressed with Dustin Poirier's durability and resolve. He got hit with some big shots, and that's a veteran who, instead of getting scared and frantic, he turtled up and said, we've been here before. We're going to be okay. And it's a goddamn warrior. Unbelievable performance. I love it. There are some fish hook allegations, which I'll let you guys talk about with Michael Chandler. So maybe he blew his bloody nose on Poirier when Poirier was on the bottom. We'll go Ray here. Ray, you probably love this fight. I mean, this is unbelievable. Yeah. You did it.
Yeah, listen, these guys both, either of these guys has never been in a boring fight.
Right.
But you said a couple of great things, Brian. And first, resiliency.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I've been here before. That's the difference in the fight. Yeah. He's been there before, not one time, probably 20 times.
Right.
So he's no stranger to that. And, man, Chandler, I mean, they're never going to be in a dull fight. I mean,
no.
The guy, and look, when he used his wrestling, look, I did, unfortunately, because I love Michael Chandler. He's been at the gym, but I did pick Poirier because I think Chandler's just too bent on entertaining people.
Right.
And when I spoke to him at the gym years ago, I said, dude, you got to put your wrestling in. That's the biggest thing. And when he did use his wrestling in the second round, you saw what happened. But then you need the cardio for that. And I think he couldn't do it in the third round. And that's what led to his demise. But what a fight while it lasted.
Unbelievable. I mean,
crazy. Crazy.
Ray, I think you confused him. He thought when you were saying wrestling, he thought pro wrestling was what happened. Right, it's like, yeah, dude, you got him in a double. Like, why do you have to lift him all the way up in the air?
And the same thing.
Just put him on his ass. Why are you trying to get fancy? You know, like some of the things that and again, it's Chandler trying to entertain.
Yeah,
it's him trying to entertain. But man, is there a guy like more physically gifted like than Michael Chandler. No. I don't know if they exist. I mean, the guy is a specimen. He's so physically gifted. But man, as far as management of energy and some of the decisions that he makes, if you've seen one Chandler fight, you've seen them all. And that's both what makes him awesome and what makes it a problem, I'm sure, as a coach, where you're just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just it must drive his corner completely nuts because he's clearly not following a game plan. He starts off pretty good and then he gets reckless. You know what I mean? Yeah. But man, he's so quick and so explosive. I love to see it. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that he has championship ability. Mm-hmm. He's just never going to get there because he's not too keen on making the right decisions or, you know, trying to win the fight. His priority is making it exciting for the fans. And if that's the case, that's cool too.
Right.
I hope he's able to have a normal life later on when he's a little bit older. But man, he's nonstop excitement. And Poirier, dude, he gets a second, third, and fourth life in some fights. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he capitalizes. When he gets you hurt, he's pretty much going to take you out. Mm-hmm. Even against someone like Chandler, I thought it was awesome the way he fished, you know, got that body triangle and locked it up. But great fight, very exciting. Those guys are tough as shit.
And his corner work was spot on also.
Yeah, it really was.
They motivated him for that third round spot on.
Yeah, because he was down two rounds. I mean, he was down two rounds.
If I was in Michael Chandler's corner, I would say, listen, bud, you're out of 10. You're so athletically gifted. Let's bring you down to an 8 or maybe a 7. Let's slow some things down here because he's all go. And he made some crucial errors in that fight. But what I love about Poirier is, let's not forget, Charles Oliveira had Chandler's back, couldn't seal the deal. And Poirier goes out there, a guy who, by the champ saying he has no jiu-jitsu, and goes out there and gets a finish. I think that's a nice little feather in Poirier's cap there. Plus 750 for him to win by submission, so no one really had that. Unbelievable fight. But before we get out of here, we're to keep it a tight 30. We got to talk about Matt Steamroller Favola. I love this guy. He follows me on social media. He reached out to me. He said some nice things to me. Been a fan of him forever. This is back-to-back now that he's knocked out undefeated fighters in the first round. I know he wants the Paddy fight. I think we all want the Paddy fight. And I really like this kid. He's got it all. I saw him fight in Atlanta when he beat Jalen Turner, which a lot of people don't talk about. Jalen Turner's on a huge rise. And Matt beat him soundly and showed his well-roundedness. Mm-hmm. And I think the sky's the limit for this kid. I mean, Ray, this is your guy. I mean, tell us about the performance here.
Listen, I couldn't be prouder of somebody. I mean, look, I make him the one adjustment, like after the McKinney fight, because I wasn't with him. And I said, dude, you're not going out like this, you know?
Right.
And I really started making him box. He boxes once a week. You know, we have a great bunch of guys. I mean, really, really talented guys. And I think it just makes a difference in his awareness, his timing, trying to get him to be more patient, pick his spots, because, you know, he's a goer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and if he has to go, he will go. But, you know, the guy could kick, he could punch, he's got good jiu-jitsu, he could wrestle. So, you know, him in an MMA fight, he's a problem. You know what I mean? As long as he doesn't get overzealous and rush in there and, you know, go for shit blindly, he's going to be a problem. So, super stoked. Again, nobody's making a big deal. He beat two undefeated guys in the first round by knockout. You know, I mean, you got to give it up to the kid. You know, that's it. And again, he's just a sweet kid with a really nice family. And again, Patriot, if that guy ever says anything bad about you, let me know. We keep him under wraps.
No, absolutely not. Frivola's great. I want to meet Matt, but more importantly, I want to meet Sal the Bulldozer Favola, because that guy, I mean, that's he is actually from Huntington. That's where my family's from. My family is from Long Island, Huntington, New York.
Was it Huntington?
Huntington. That's where my mother was born and raised. She was about 16, moved here. My grandparents are all from there. So got a little Long Island blood in me. So that's probably it. Kenny, what do you think about Favola? I mean, this kid in a Shark Tank division, back-to-back knockouts. I mean, this is impressive.
He looked sharp. He looked like everything was under his control. He wasn't trying to do anything outside of himself. He was very composed, very calculated, and setting his opponent up. Like, it just seemed like he was a veteran. He was the teacher, and the other guy was the pupil. That's what it seemed. And that's been the shift, I think, from
I froze up a little bit.
Yeah, we froze up a little bit. All right, he'll come back here.
But you know what? Let me just say the other
day, go ahead.
Kenny was on though too. But you know, I, Brian, I really viewed this other guy as like a caveman with his boxing. And I like, Provol, you get hit with that right hand, you fucking deserve to lose. I mean, you know what's coming. Yeah, I don't know. I wanted it to be an easy fight. I didn't see it going like that. I thought he was going to put his wrestling in, wear him down a bit, and then but you know, the guy attacked him, and he just stayed in the pocket. You could see his awareness was good. He was looking, and he was able to get the finish in front of his hometown crowd, which is a
unbelievable.
Know, that shit you carry for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
you know, you never did anything else.
Right,
you're at the Garden with people cheering your name.
He came. You know. He came out to the trumpets. I was so excited for him, and I couldn't believe he's the underdog. He was +140s when he closed that, and I was like, this Ottman guy is a right hand, and he's beat two very chinny guys who are no longer in the UFC. We haven't seen him go past the first round. We haven't seen him deal with wrestling. We haven't seen him deal with cardio. And that's what Favola is going to bring. I thought the same thing. I thought Favola was going to box him a little bit, feel him out, take him down, submit him. I had Favola by submission as well. But he looked really comfortable in that pocket dealing with those bombs. Very impressive boxing. Like the boxing that you said you made him box. When you get in that pocket and you're so comfortable with that, you start seeing openings. And that's what happened with him. Like those shots were something that I don't know if he would have had maybe like a year or two ago landed.
He would have rushed it. He was the under. I thought he was a big favorite.
No. So he was – when we did the pick'em on Sunday, he was a -105 pick'em. And I closed on Saturday. I placed my bets on Saturday before the fights. He was +135, +140. And I dumped money on it because I said there's no way he loses this fight. You know what I mean?
Was there any way he was like a -200 like a couple of weeks ago?
Not that I'm aware of. I know it was a very pick'em line. A lot of money came late on Ottman.
I did not know that, man.
Yeah, Ottman by first round KO was like +120, which is very low for a prop. And I'm just like, I just think Favola, I mean, this we don't know what this kid has. He has a right hand, but that's it, you know? And it's, you know, Kenny's trying to come back on right now for the people that are listening. We're trying to get the flow back. But incredible performance by Favola. And the one thing now for him, for what I want to see in his career is just, I don't know if it's injuries or whatever, if he has a big weight cut, but just a little more, let's fight 3 times a year. Because I think he's a star. He's got a personality. He's got a great city and state behind him. And I think he can beat some really – I think he matches up really well with these Sharks in 155. I truly do.
100%. I watch him. I see him in the gym. We're so deep at 155 here that he gets great work, which is awesome. And I think that makes a big difference too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I'm so happy for him. I don't even know the guy, but obviously he's Team Longo Sarah Weidman, the whole Anakin Florian bunch. I mean, I couldn't be happier for him. And he was on last week, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Kenny's still trying to get on here, so we'll tread some water. Erin Blanchfield, though, we got to talk about her. 23 years old, looks like, and Molly's a beast, and she looks seasoned, and she wasn't making mistakes at 23, which is what you see sometimes with these young fighters who are undefeated. That might be like, oh, I'm just going to win because I'm that good. She took this seriously, and she went out there and got an incredible finish over a tough Molly McCann.
Yeah, listen, she's been in the gym. I've watched her spar a bunch of times. Quiet, got great coaching. They're all just humble, nice people. But that's what MMA really should be about, is really there's so many disciplines exploiting weaknesses. It's not like if it's just boxing, you're limited to weaknesses, but this you're not limited, and you saw it in that fight. I mean, that's a girl that made that fight look really easy, really easy.
There's Flo. Sorry,
Penny,
brother.
We missed you, buddy.
A little technical difficulty.
I just shit the bed. Sorry about that, guys.
We're gonna give your thoughts on Favola, because that's where we had you off last. Yeah. You love Favola when we were just talking about Erin Blanchfield as well.
Yeah, you know, so I was just gonna say, just Matt just looked way, way more composed. He looked like the teacher. His opponent looked, dude.
Oh, wow.
No, I'll lose him again. Oh, boy. Yeah. Not first time hosting in the host chair. We got some technical difficulties.
We covered it, Brian.
We got it good. But yeah, I mean, listen, UFC 281, New York is such a special city that when UFC goes there, the MSG, you have to bring an A-level card. And I thought top to bottom, everyone delivered in this spot. Every fight was incredible. Is there any standouts to you, Ray, besides me, for Vola, your guys? There's Kenny again. Oh, Kenny, we're going to try you again here, bud. This hosting job's tough, man.
One quick thing, 11 yeah. finishes, that's huge.
That's huge.
That's huge. Yeah. So I think standout, not really nothing. It just was an exciting card top to bottom.
Top to bottom. Ken Flo, touch on Aaron Blanchfield before we get out of here, because Ray and I just talked about her. Unbelievable against Molly McCann, coming off two incredible knockouts, and she's only 23, dude.
Yeah, 100%. This is that new generation that's training at 7 years old, knew she wanted to be a pro at 12 years old, and she was a buzzsaw last night. Just walked right through Molly McCann like it was nothing. Like, she knew exactly what was going to happen, and just way too much. And this is a much improved Molly. And granted, Molly is not a ground wizard or anything like that, but you know, she comes from a gym where they produce a lot of good guys on the ground, but not enough for Blanchfield.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're at 30 minutes here. We want to give you a little bit because John Anik is so busy. Tuesday is going to be the full episode. We're going to give you picks. Ken Flo's going to talk more about the card. Ray Longo will be Ray Longo. It's going to be unbelievable. Go subscribe to the Anik and Florian podcast on YouTube. We have we need to be at 100K. Why aren't we at 100K? That is ridiculous. Unbelievable. We have Ray Longo. I mean, come on.
I mean, can we get to 100K at least for my ego?
Let's
seriously. Come on.
Kenny, the universe has a way of humbling you.
This is true.
Hey, here's a big shot. He's got 6,000 subscribers. It's all, yeah, right. Come on, 100K.
That's it for us, boys. UFC 81 was amazing. I'm Big Gun Brian Peachy. That's Ray Longo. That's Kenny Florian, Anik and Florian podcast. We're back Tuesday. Let's go.
Hello, I am Dr. George Jesus Mesa, a clinical psychologist and collector of Chicano Latinx art. For generations, we have known of the healing powers of art at an individual and community level. Please join us as we interview prominent artists, collectors, curators, and influencers in the world of Chicano Latinx art. We will explore historical, regional, and political influences that impact Chicano Latinx art today. Along with our partners at www.latinoarte.com, we are preserving the colorful and rich history of Chicano Latinx art for future generations, one interview at a time. Please join us at Healing with Dr. George, the power of Chicano Latinx art, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family, and 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.